Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos Daf Kuf Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis. Three lines from the bottom, Tanur Rabbanan. The Braisa teaches us, Hare Alai Lim Mizbeach. If somebody says, I'm going to bring something that it's going to be put on the Mizbeach, Yavi Levayna, Shebring Levayna. Fu says the Braisa, She'en L'chadova Shekarav L'gabim Mizbeach. There's nothing, L'gabim Mizbeach, there's nothing that is placed completely on the Mizbeach, El Levoinim. So when this person made the statement of Hare Alai L'Mizbeach, which implies that he was bringing something which would be totally put on the Mizbeach, it should be Levoinim. If he says, Parashti, I said what I'm going to bring, but any day in my Parashti, I don't remember what I said, so then the Alach will be, Yova Mikol Shekarav L'Mizbeach, he has to bring all types of anything that's put on the Mizbeach, Levoina, Mechas Nesachim, Oilus Oif. All of these are different types of situations of things that are put on the Mizbeach, that are completely put on the Mizbeach, and nobody else gets a shear in. Ask the Gemara of Suleka, is there nothing else in the list of things that are put on the Mizbeach that nobody else gets a shear of? Veka Oila, isn't there a carbon Oila, which is put on the Mizbeach, completely burnt on the Mizbeach? So perhaps when he said Hare Alai L'Mizbeach, he has to bring a carbon oilam. Answers the Gemara, Ika Oira L'Kahana. When we speak about the carbon oilam, the hide of the carbon oilam is put on, is given to the Kahanim. So the oilam no longer can be considered something which is put entirely on the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, the Ika Oila Saif. The Oila Saif is completely put on the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Ika, in the Oil Saif as well, there's a part that's not put on the Mizbeach. Myra, which is the place where the waste of the person accumulates. It's like a person's intestines. The Noitza, and the feathers that are on top of that. That the Aloch is, as we learned in Masech Tzvachim, they're not put on the Mizbeach. That part of the bird is not put on the Mizbeach. It's actually put where we put the Trumas Hadeshin. And as we learned also that every morning they did the Trumas Hadeshin. And then there was a miracle that the Trumas Hadeshin, got absorbed into the ground. Asmaravik and Nesachim, the wine of Nesachim that are poured on the Mizbeach, and again, that are poured completely down the Mizbeach, says the Gemara, L'shitin Azli. They go down the drain. They don't really remain on the Mizbeach. And this person said, L'Mizbeach. Ask the Rav Ika, Mechas Nesachim. But what about the Mechas Nesachim, which are completely burnt? Answers the Gemara, Kivin Deka Mincha, since we have Mincha, the Achli Kohanim Minei, since there are certain carbon Mincha, that the Kohanim, as we've been learning throughout Masechta, get a portion, loy psikalei. So Minchas Nesachim is in the category of carbon mincha. So even though it's not treated in the same way as all other carbon minchas, it's in the same family. And if we eliminated carbon mincha, the carbon Minchas Nesachim also gets eliminated. Continues the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, somebody said, Harei Leizov, I'm going to bring gold to the Bedek Abayis. The Loch is Lo Yivchais Medinazov. He shouldn't give less than a Dinazov. Ask the Gemara, why are we saying that he should give a Dinazov? Maybe Dilmanascha, all he meant was to give a piece of gold, which is worth less than a Dinazov. Says the Gemara, Amar Belazar, the Mishnah is referring to a situation where he said Matbeya. We clearly indicated that he's giving a coin. Ask the Gemara, Dilmapriti, maybe he meant to give small coins of gold, not a dinazov, which is a bigger coin and more valuable. Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa preted the Havalah of the Inchi. People don't make it. And the way I saw the Mefarshim explain the Gemara, it doesn't mean that there's no such a thing as prutos made out of zav, because the Gemara wouldn't be asking a question regarding something that doesn't exist. But the Gemara means to say is that even though technically there are prutas of zahav, but it's very uncommon. And therefore, when somebody made a nether, we cannot and should not assume that he meant a pruta of zahav. We learned further in the Mishnah, kesef, if somebody says he's going to bring silver to the Bedek HaBayis, it's lo yifches medinah. He shouldn't give less than a dinner kesef. Again, ask the Gemara, Dilmanaska, maybe what he meant was to bring a piece of silver. And it says the Gemara, Amar Belazar, Dama Matbeya. He clearly indicated that he was bringing a coin. But ask the Gemara, Dama Priti, again, maybe he meant a prut of kesef, which obviously is much less valuable than a dinner of kesef. And says the Gemara, Amar Avsheshis, Ba'asur de loisaga prita de kaspa. We're speaking in a place where, again, that's not, again, I saw the same pshat, the Svasema says this as well. It's not that there's no such a thing as silver coins altogether. Because if there's no such thing as silver coins, there would be no place for this discussion. What the Gemara means to say is that silver coins are very uncommon, and silver coins are so uncommon, we don't assume that that's what he meant. If he said nechayshis, so loyivches mar kesef, he shouldn't bring less copper in the value of a mar kesef. Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, loyivches mitznura katana shel nechayshis. He should not bring less than a small pin made out of copper. Ask the Gemara, lemay chazya, what could you do with such a small copper pin? Amar bayish mechatatan as a psilois, that we could clear off the top of the wicks, and we could use them to take the clear out the cups of the neiris from any ash that accumulates in them. So the way I saw that the Brisker Rav explains that when the Gemara says that we use this pin or mazleg to clear out the psilis, it's as long as the candles are still on. Because once they were not on anymore, they're off. There's no kedusha to them. What the Gemara means to say is, we see that there's a lit candle that's accumulating a wick. The wick is like forming a coal on top of it, and it prevents it from burning so nicely, and we use this type of pin to push that off. Says the Gemara further, Barzel, if somebody says that is going to bring Barzel, Tanya, we learned in the Brayis Acherim Maimrim, it is the opinion of the Acherim, the Leifches Lekalia Oirif. He should not bring less metal than what's needed for Kalia Oirif. They had on the top of the Beis HaMikdash such nails that were sticking out that in case the ravens, the Arvin, wanted to rest on the Mizbeah, on the top of the Beis HaMikdash, and which is not nice, and they will make it dirty. That's what they would use it for. So when somebody is donating steel to the Beis HaMikdash, that's what the use of the steel is. So I did see that there are different interpretations where exactly it was put. Some say it was put along the roof, and some say it was put along the makkah, the gate around the roof. Kamam. And says the Gemara, how much room did it take up? Rabbi Yosef, amal aman, amal by an amal. Ikadamri, leifchas amal ma'ava. Don't bring less than an amal al amal. Why? B'may chazya, because what will I do with an amal al amal of met of steel? Rabbi Yosef, it will be used for kalya oirif. So what's the difference? Explain the gra in Elio. And Elio, what's the difference between these two interpretations? So he explains that the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes that ravens did not rest on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. So, therefore, the first version holds that Ein Samech Me'al HaNes. That Ein Samech Me'al HaNes means that even though it didn't happen, we made the Kaya Erev anyway. The second Lashon holds that no, they really needed the Kaya Erev. But we also said that the Rishonim that suggest that the Kaya Erev was put on top of the Makkah, of the gate around the base of the gate around the roof of the roof of the base of Migdash. And it's a very interesting discussion that the Paiskim have. We know the Torah Kedosh says that there's an obligation of a sisa makkah l'gagecha. And the question is, a roof that is not used, what is the halacha that you have to make a gate around that roof? It's a big discussion, and some suggest that only a roof that's used, the Torah Kedosh says that you have to make a roof, or you have to have a gate around it. You want to be careful that nobody chas v'shalom should fall off the roof. But there are opinions that suggest that they didn't go up the top of the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. So if they didn't go up to the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, why did they have to make a gate? Seemingly indicating that even if you have a place that doesn't have a roof, that doesn't have a used roof, you should still make a gate. The principle behind this piece of Gemara and all of the pieces, many of the sugyas that we've been learning, is that when somebody is unclear, when there's lack of clarity in what he said, we have to try to figure out what he meant. And these type of questions come up often. The Rosh already has a discussion where somebody was living in a city and he wanted to get a tax exemption, which he was successful in getting. And the question was, for how long is that exemption? There were people that said, you got an exemption, it meant only for a year. Or does it mean forever? The Ramah, actually, in Chayshe Mishpat, Simen Kuf Samach Gimel, Siv Yud, quotes the Rosh and says that the person could say that the city could say we meant only a year. On the other hand, the Rosh, the Ramah, and Simon Samach, Sif Gimel discusses, brings the opinion of the Rajbah, where somebody undertook to support somebody else, and he didn't put a time attached to it. So for how long must he support him? And forever, or only as long as he needs, or only for a minimum amount of time? And he quotes the Rosh that the halacha is that technically you don't have to do it for more than 1 year. Similarly, I saw a tshuva in the Shas Tshuvas Ber Avram that discusses a most interesting shaila. He speaks about during World War II, where people who lived in London, which was being bombed, all ran to some, I guess, suburbs of London or other areas, which were safer. And here, there was a lot, now that developed a large Jewish community, and this place where they were did not have a mikveh. So there was a person who was generous, and he gave away, he said they could use part of his property to build a mikveh on that property. And then what happened was that the war ended, and after the war ended, most people went back to London. But there was still a community left in this, some Jews remained in this community. And now there was a debate that began. The people who remain said that you donated this property for us to have a place to have a mikveh, and we still need a mikveh. He said, I donated the property only because there was a real need, because there was no mikveh. Now that most people have gone back, that wasn't the circumstance under which I donated the property, and I don't have to continue giving up my property for your mikveh. And they had this debate, and the Shas Tshuvas Ber Avram, very much using what we learned in our sugya, that we always interpret that he meant to give less more than more. We say that we always interpret that he meant less in many circumstances, says that he doesn't have to continue giving his share. Then I saw that Chushuke Chemet has another interesting question, because we keep on speaking about fulfilling obligation. So he speaks about an individual who had promised that he would donate a Sefer Torah to the shul. At the same time that he had made this commitment, what happened was that there was some sort of a lottery taking place for a Sefer Torah, and he won that lottery. So now he had a Sefer Torah. So is he obligated to go commission, have somebody write a Sefer Torah, or can he just give the Sefer Torah that he just won to fulfill his obligation? So besides for the issue that he says that there's a mitzvah atom kisul lechem sashir azois, that we have an obligation to write a Sefer Torah, and by winning a Sefer Torah through a goyro, through a lottery, is not necessarily considered that you fulfill that obligation of atom kisul lechem sashir azois. He also suggests that when this person undertook that he's going to give a Sefer Torah, what he meant was that he's going to give this Sefer Torah, he's going to give this Sefer Torah and not rely on winning it in a lottery. Continues the Gemara, if somebody says, Harei Elai Yayin, if somebody took upon himself to give wine for Nesachim, the minimum he has to give is 3 lugim of wine, because that's the minimum of wine we ever find that is donated. Shemen, if he donated to give oil, he shouldn't give less than a loig, because that's always the smallest amount of oil that's donated. Rabbi Aimer, the Gemara will explain this in Mitzvah Shem, this machlokes, shloish lugim. Again, teaches us the Mishnah. Pirashti, if he says, I said something, any day my pirashti, but I'm not quite certain, I don't remember what I said, yavi yain, yavi yoim hamruba. He has to bring the most that is ever brought, which the Gemara will identify. Says the Gemara, the Tanur Rabbanan, the Torah says regarding the Nesachim that are brought along with Kabanas, the Torah says, Kala Ezrach Yasa Kocha. Melamed, this pasuk is seemingly superfluous. We already know there's a din of Nesachim. What does this pasuk come to teach us? Melamed Shnesvad Yayin, that one could give wine even if he's not bringing a carbon. Kama, how much? Shloish Lugim. That's the minimum. Because that's the minimum amount of wine we ever find brought. But continues the Gemara. Menayin Shem Reitz L'Hoysev Yosef. How do we know if he wants to give more than Shloish Lugim, he may do so? Says the Gemara, Tam Elohim, the pasuk says, Kachem Keger Yia. They could give Lachem Keger Yia as much as you want. Yochel Yifchais. He could give, we would think he could give maybe less as well. Tamloima yasa kocha. Kocha means at least 3. 3 lugim, not any less. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody donated shemen lo yischa min aloig, he should not give less than aloig. Rabbi Amel shloish lugim. Ask the Gemara, Maika Mifligi. Ask the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikis of Rabbi and the Rabbanon? Says the Gemara, Amru Rabbanon kamei de Rapapa, bedon mino omino, vukim ba'asukam mafki. Rabbi and the Rabbanon are debating when we're learning one halacha from another halacha. Do we learn everything from the source that we're learning from? Or do we just learn the primary halacha from the source? But once we've established the primary halacha, the details are kept in context of the halacha that we are discussing. And the Gemara explains itself. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan's opinion is, don mino, we're learning the halacha that you could donate oil from the Karban Mincha, and we learn it all the way from mino, from the Karban Mincha. And therefore, the halacha is, ma mincha misnadvin, just like one could donate a Karban Mincha, the halacha is, af sheminami misnadvin, you could donate oil. Umino, and we take this a step further, ma mincha baloig, just like we donate the minimum amount of mincha is a loig, af shem a loig, you could bring a loig. Rabbi Sava, domi nov, ukiba asra. Once we learn something, we learn the basic halacha from Karban Mincha, but then we apply it to what we're talking about, when we're talking about a Karban Mincha, and we don't talk, and we're not speaking about Nesachim. Gemara explains, ma mincha, misnadvin, just like you could donate a Karban Mincha, av shemen nami misvadvin, you could donate shemen. V'uki ba'asra, and now we put shemen that we're speaking about, compare it to the wine. Because just like the person who donated oil, he also is similar to the person who donated wine. And by Nesachim, the halacha is Shloi Shalugim. When we speak about the wine, it's Shloi Shalugim. Avshem Nami is Shloi Shalugim. Says the Gemara, Amal Rapapa. So Rapapa said to those who explained this machloikus this way, E mimincha gamalei Rebbe. If Rebbe is learning the halacha of Shemen from Mincha, the Kule Amma Leplegi, there's no reason to disagree. And everybody would agree, Dami Nami Na. And just like by Mincha, we bring a like Shemen here too. The reason that Rebbe holds you bring three loigim, because Ezrach Gamala. He learns it from the Pasuk that says, Kala Ezrach Yasa Kocha. And just like the Pasuk learns that we, as we said a few moments ago, that you could donate wine, the Torah also says you could donate oil. And just like wine is three lugim sold through oil. Amalei, Rav Huna Barei, the Nasan Rapapa, Omi Matzit Amri Hachi, could you say that the din that you could donate oil is learned from this pasuk? Ask me, Vatanya, have we not learned in a brisa the pasuk when it speaks about minchas nadavah that somebody could donate a carbon mincha? It says the nefesh ki sakrif carbon mincha. To teach us the word carbon is extra. Could have just said the nefesh ki sakrif mincha. Malamed, from here we learn shemisnad m'shemen, you could donate oil. The kama, how much oil? Shloisha slugim. Says the Gemara, man shamed le damish shloisha slugim. So ask the Gemara, who's the man the Amr that in our Mishnah that says that when you donate oil, it must be at least three lugim? As we've been learning, it's Rebbe. So according to the Rabbanon, you could just bring a loig. The Kamaisalei, and where's he learning his halacha that you could bring oil along from? From the word carbon, not like you, Rapapa, just suggested, that we learn it from Kala Ezrach Yasa Kocha. Amalei, so Rapapa said to Rav Huna, Itanya Tanya, if there's an explicit brisa that has that's where Rebbe learned the halacha from, I have no place to disagree. We learned further in the Mishnah, where he said, where somebody said, I donated oil or I donated wine, parashti, and I said how much I meant to give. However, any day parashti, I don't recall how much I gave. Yavi, you have to give as much as you bring on the day, which is the day you bring the most. Which is the day that you bring the most? Which is the Yom HaMerubah? Says the Maratana, Yom Tarishi Shalchag, the first day of Sukkot, Shechal Lias B'Shabbos, it would fall on Shabbos. That is the day in the entire calendar year that you have the most Kabbonis. You have 13 Purim, 2 Elim, 14 kvasim, all for an oila. Then you have a sir echad lechatas. Then you have 2 kvasim that are brought for the musvei Shabbos. Then you have 2 more kvasim for the tamid shachar and tamid shebein abayim. And if you calculate the amount of the nesachim for that you bring that day, you'll find that you bring 140 lug of oil, and you bring. And you bring 140 loig of wine. That, so if the person doesn't know how much he donated, and we have to take the most is 140 loig of wine and 40 loig of oil. Says the Mishnah, Harelei oila, somebody took upon himself to bring a carbon oila, yavi kevis. The loch is you bring a kevis, which is the smallest animal. Rabbi Lazman Azari Oimer, he doesn't have to bring an animal. He could bring a tar, a ben yoina, a dove or a pigeon. Parashti. But if the person says, I said I'm bringing an animal, menabokar, but I don't remember any yedei ma parashti, I don't recall what I said. The halach is yavi par, which is a cow, which is a 2 or 3 year old male animal, vagal, that or a calf, that it only, because the oiler always comes from a male, these are the 2 options. If he said mina behema, and he doesn't remember of any day maparashti, jove pave egel, he should bring a cow, a calf, ayel, sar, a ram, and a sheep, gdi, a goat, a tleb. All of these animals could be used from the behemoth family for carbon oilah. And since he doesn't remember which one he brought, he identified to bring, that he obligated himself to bring, he has to bring one of each. Parashti, if he said, I'm going to bring something for carbon oilah, veni de ma parashti, and he says, I don't remember anything, then the halacha is ma'isef aleihem. So besides all this large group of animals that we just identified, he's also going to have to bring a bird, because we could bring a carbon oilah, tara ben yoinim. If somebody said, Arei lo toidu v'shlamim, if somebody took upon himself to bring a carbon toidu or a carbon shlamim, and again, this Mishnah is a raya to an issue that we've discussed previously, certainly one could donate a carbon shlamim. But our Mishnah is also teaching us that it's seemingly that you could bring a carbon toidu even though you don't have a specific reason to bring the carbon toidu. You just want to say thank you to Hashem. The loch is Yavi Kevis, because that's the smallest, cheapest animal that can be used for a taido or a shlamim. However, if he said parashti, that I'm going to bring for Nabokar, but I don't remember any day of my parashti, I don't remember what I said, Yavi Par, he should bring a cow, a male cow, or para, a female cow, egel, a male calf, vagala, and a female calf. Because these are all in the category of bakar, and by carbon shlamim and a carbon oila, a carbon shlamim and a carbon toida to be a female or a male. So as long as he said bakar, all these four animals that the Mishnah just identified are in the category of bakar that could be used for toida or shlamim. If the person said, when I took upon this obligation, I said, I'm bringing him in a behema. But again, he says, Veni de me parashti, I don't recall which animal I said. So then the halach is Yavi Par, a male cow, a para, Egel Vagola, male and female calf, Ayel Verachela, sheep, Sar Vesar, Gediva Gediva, goats, Telev Italia. They are all in the category of behema, and they are also all animals that can be used for Taidu Shlomim. Harela Shar, if somebody said, I'm bringing a shar for a carbon. Yavihu Nesachav B'mana. He has to bring an animal. He has to bring a shor. And the halacha we know is that when you bring any carbon, as we've been discussing, you have to bring with it a Nesachim. And the halacha is that you're going to have to bring the Nesachim with the proper shear of Nesachim that are brought with a shor. Egel, if he said, I'm bringing a calf for oil or shlamim, yavihu in the sachem, b'cham islam. If he said a shor, the assumption is that he meant an animal that's going to cost the least amount. If he said that he's bringing a calf, the assumption is that he's going to pay 5 shlamim for the animal. If he said, I'm bringing an ayil, yavihu in the sachem, b'shtayim. He should bring an animal that's worth 2 shlamim. If he said he's bringing a keves, Yavihu in the Sachav, as we've been saying throughout our Mishnah, the keves is the cheapest animal for a seller. Shor, if somebody said, I'm going to bring a shor that's worth a mana. So says the Mishnah that the mana that he has to bring is the value of the animal. Yavi b'mana chutz min Nesachav. The Nesachav are excluded. Again, Egel b'chamish, if he said, I'm bringing a calf that's worth 5 shlamim, so he has to bring an animal that's worth 5 shlamim, chutz min asachav. Ayel b'shtayim, if he says he's going to bring an ayel for 2 shlamim, yovah b'shtayim chutz min asachav. If he said keves b'sela, yovah b'sela chutz min asachav. Says the Mishnah, if somebody obligated himself to bring a shor that's worth a mana. And now what happened was he brought v'hevi shnayim. He, instead of bringing one big animal that's worth a mana, he brings 2 smaller animals that are worth a mana, lo yotza. He is not yotza the mitzvah, because he said he's bringing an animal, he's bringing a shor that's worth a mana. Mafila zeb mana chasadina. Even if both animals are very valuable, but neither of them has the value of a mana, if he'll zebemana chasadina, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. So, of course, the question that needs to be understood is why. He said that he's going to bring a carbon that's worth a mana. So he brought two, but they're worth a mana. So why would this be considered that he didn't fulfill his obligation? So I saw that the Sefer Taras HaKadosh goes back to what we learned on the other day on Daf Kovav, where the Gemara in the previous year said that there are advantages to big animals, to small animals, more Amorim, less Amorim, more Kaimitz, less Kaimitz. And therefore, bringing two animals is a different formulation of the Amorim versus bringing one animal. And therefore, he has to do what he said. If he said that he's going to bring a shochar, that he's going to bring a black animal, and then he brought, if instead of bringing a black animal, heavy lovin, he brought a white animal, or he says he's going to bring a lovin, heavy shochar, godl, says he's going to bring a big animal, heavy cotton, then he brought a small one, layotzi, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. If he ever said cotton, heavy godl, he said he's going to bring a small animal, and then he really brings a big animal, yotza. Rabbi Omer, because a small animal is included in a big animal. Rabbi disagrees. And Rabbi's opinion is, lo yotza, he isn't yotza. Because he has to do what he obligated him to do. And if he doesn't keep his word, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. So as I said, most Mefarshim explained that why did Rabbanon hold the cotton v'hevi gadol yotza? Because they say that a big animal is a small animal plus. The others explain that we don't have to explain it that way. The way we could explain it is that when he said that he's going to bring a small animal, he wasn't obligating himself that I must bring a small animal. What he meant to say was that I'm not going to bring less than a small animal. But certainly if I want to bring more, he should be able to. Another machlokes rishonim. So here we have the Rabbanan clearly indicating that if he took upon himself to bring a small animal and instead he bought a big animal, he's yotza. What's going to be the halacha if he said he's going to bring one type of animal and he brings a different type of animal? Again, the value is according to what he took upon himself or even more. What would the Rabbanan say then? The Rambam's opinion is that under those circumstances, even the Rabbanan would agree that that is not fulfilling his nether. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that according to Rabbanan, as long as what he's bringing is equal or more than what he's bringing, then he's yotza. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah said, we began that the Tanakam said if somebody said Harei Olai Oila, he could bring a keves. And according to Belozer ben Azaria, you could even bring a bird. Says the Gemara Veloy Pligi, but says the Gemara there's really no machloikus here. Ma ka'asri, ma ka'asri. Everybody was reflecting according to the place where they lived. In other words, both of them agree that when somebody says Harei Olai Oila, he brings the least expensive. Just in the place that the Tanakhama lived, Kevis was less expensive than Oif. And that's why he said, bring a Kevis. Whereas, where Abeleza ben Azariah lived, birds were less expensive than a Kevis. And therefore, his opinion is that you could fulfill your obligation that with Oif. Tara Abonim continues the Gemara. Harei Olai Oila. Pesela, the Mizbeach. Somebody says they're going to bring an oila worth a seller to the Mizbeach. Yovi Kevis. You should bring a Kevis. Four explains the Braisa. Shein lecha dover. Shekar b'mesela l'gab b'mizbeach. There's nothing worth a seller that's brought on the Mizbeach. Ela Kevis shekar b'mesela. As our Mishnah said, you could get a Kevis for a seller. We learned further. If he said Parashti, very day Parashti, he says, I said something. I don't recall what I said, says the Gemara, then it's good enough that he could bring with anything, shekar b'sela l'gamizbeach. Only if he said, sela, that he's going to bring, that he's going to say, when he said Arei Oila Oila Besela, do we say he meant a keves? But if he said that I said something and I don't remember what I meant, so that as long as it has the value of a sella, it will be satisfactory. We learned in the Mishnah, if somebody says, Parashti min abaka, I said I'm going to bring a baka type of animal for carbon. However, any day my parashti, I don't recall which animal, yavi parva eagle. Ask the Gemara, amai v'leis parva manavshach. Why is it not enough that she just bring a cow? Ask the Gemara. And if he meant a par, fantastic. And if he meant an eagle, so a par is just a bigger eagle. A cow is an adult calf, says the Gemara, because the Mishnah is following here. Hamani, the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe that just taught us in the Mishnah that cotton baby got la yotza. And from here I saw that the Or Sameach suggest that when the Rabbanan say cotton vevi godl yotza, is not that they say yotza b'diavid, that they hold lechatchila, it's an acceptable way of bringing this carbon. If so, continues the Gemara, but e Rebbe, if we're going to say that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe, aim is safer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. Somebody says he's going to bring one animal that's worth a mana, a cow, a bull that's worth a mana, shor, vevi shnayim. Or he said, he brought two that were worth a mana la yotza. And even the Mishnah continued teaching us, Rafil Zebe mana chasadina. The Zebe mana chasadina is still, he wasn't yotza. Furthermore, the Mishnah said, Shach vevi lovin. He says he's going to bring black and he's brought white. Lovin vevi shacho. He said white and he brought black. He said he's going to bring godl vevi cotton la yotza. But if he said cotton vevi godl, Yotza. Rabbi Aimer, lo yotza, because you have to fulfill what you said. So according to this, the Reisha is following the opinion of Mishnah, of Rabbi. The Sefer is saying the opinion of Rabbi. And the Mitzyasa, that is following the opinion of Rabbanan. Is that not difficult to accept? Says Mara, absolutely. That's how we have to understand the Mishnah. In Reisha Sefer will be following the opinion of Rabbi. Or Mitzyasa, and the middle part of Mishnah is following the Rabbanan. This question, if you don't bring exactly what you took upon yourself, is actually Machlokes Rebbe Rabbanan, is the subject of Machlokes of Rebbe and Rabbanan.